We're on Daf Ayin Tes Amud Aleph on the top of the Amud, and we were studying based on a Braisa, the Shita, which the Gemara identifies as that of Rabbi Gamliel, quoted by his Talmud Rabbi Yehuda, that when there's a mixture, a taroves of min b'mino, then the halacha is that we're machmir, and we don't apply the principle of bittul. And as a result, Ram Gamliel's Machmir also in Min B'She'eno Mino, and he applies the principle of Roim, so that even if there's a mixture, for example, of Yayin Lavan and Mayim, and they all have the same Maris, had it been Yayin Adom, it might have passed the Mikvah, depending upon the volume of Yayin. And Roim means that we view the volume of Mayim Lavan, of Yayin Lavan, as if it were Yayin Adon. And that's going to be the Chumrah of Ram Gamliel. And the Sheet of Ram Gamliel is codified in a Braisa. That's where we want to start the Sanya on the top line here in Ayin Tes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Ram Gamliel Ein Dom Vatal Dom. If you have a mixture of Dom which is Royal Mizbeach, Royal is Rika, and Dom which is, let's say, from Behemas Chulin, which is not Royal is Rika, then we don't apply the principle of Bittul, and the Dom of Behemas Chulin is not Mavatal the Dom that's Roil Mizbeach, and therefore everything's Koshel is Rika. In this flip side, in the case of mitzvahs, we're going to be Machmir, based on the same exact principle, as far as the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. So if we have a mixture of Dam from a Chayav Yof, after the Shechita of a Chayav Yof, those are the animals that require Kisi Adam, with Dam of Behemah that doesn't require Kisi Adam, and these laws are recorded in the Torah in Vayikra Yud Zayin, Asher Yatsud Sayod Chaya, O Of Asher Yochal, is Veshofach as Dom Vekiso Ba'ofar, and the Gemara says in Chulin that this teaches us that the Dam of an Of, the Dam of a Chaya is Chayav in Kisi Adam, but not the Dam of a Behema. And in this case, Rabbi Gamliel says that despite the fact that you have a mixture of Dam Behema, you're still Chayev in Kisi Adam. There's no Bittul. The Dam of Behema is not Mavato, the Dam of Chayev Yehov. And therefore he's obligated in the mitzvah of Kisi Adam. The Mishnah Chulin, on the other hand, presents the thesis that we view the Dam Behema as if it's Mayim, and if the Dam of the Chayav Yof does not have a Maradam, then he's not Chayav in Kisui. But Ram Gamliel reflects the view that he's Chayav in Kisui because there's no Bittul. The Brice applies this rule of Ram Gamliel to a third case, that we had the cases of Dam B'Dam, two cases of Dam B'Dam. Now it's Rok B'Rok. And this is Tumah V'Tahara. So we have Rok of an Adam Tahar. We have Rok of a Tameh who's a Zav. And they got mixed up together. The question is whether this mixture is considered Tameh or not. So the halacha is that Ein Rok Mevatel Rok. So even though there's a very large preponderant majority of volume of Rok Tahar, nevertheless, it's min b'mino, and it's not batel, and it cannot be mevatel the rok of the zav, and therefore the whole mixture is tameh. And v'ein meiraglayim mevatel meiraglayim, the same rule will apply if you have meiraglayim of an odom tar, and it got mixed up with meiraglayim of a zav. Nevertheless, it's not mevatel the meiraglayim of zav. It's min b'mino, and it's not batel. And therefore the whole mixture is Tameh. Now once we clarified that Ram Gamliel's Machmir in the case of Min B'mino, and he holds that there's no Bittul, that's going to have a spin-off effect on min b'she'eno mina, on a tarovus of two different mina. There, Rav Gamliel is moda that there is bittul, but nevertheless, again, he's machmir. And if there's no mara nikar, then the din of bittul will be suspended unless we could determine that had there been a mara nikar, nevertheless, it would be bottle. And that's the principle that we mentioned before of Roim, that we spoke about in the last shiur. Notice we're going to take a look at something that got mixed up in the Taruva, in the Taruva sense, Ein Maro Nikar. We're going to imagine it, Roim, as if it was Maro Nikar, and therefore it's not bottle, unless there's a rove in this mixture great enough to be Vatel the Mara. And Rabbi Yehuda said that this Brisa, in which there's a mixture of Yayin Lavan and Mayim, is we apply the principle of Roim, and we view the Yayin Lavan as if it was Yayin Adom, and we have to be Mevatel that Kamus as far as the Mar is concerned. That reflects the Shita of Rav Gamliel, his Rebbe. He himself, Rabbi Yehuda, holds that we're not going to have this Chumrah of Min B'mino Lo Batel. And therefore he holds that in the case of Min B'Sheino Mino, if they both have the same Mara, we're not going to apply the principle of Roim to be Machmir, and therefore Mechatos, if it fell into a mikvah, is going to be Batel B'Rov. Rav, however, has a different view in order to reconcile the stira that we spoke about in the last shiur, and he wants to say that in truth, both the Mishnah and the Braisa reflect the same sheet, and it's Rabbi Yehuda, who accepted hook, line, and sinker the sheet of his Rebbe Gamliel as far as min b'mino eino batel and min b'she'eino mino to apply the principle of Roim when they're both shava b'mara, they both have the same mara. Now the kasha becomes, as we asked, what about the tarovos of mei chatos in the mikvah water? And it says that it's batel b'rov, even though Mei Chatos and Mei Mikvah is Min B'mino. So Rava answers, Bidli Shetocho Tahar Vigabo Tamei Askinon. So we're talking about some sort of a bucket that became Tamei on its outside. And that's called a Tuma Dirabanan. What do I mean? Let's say there are Mashkim inside the Dli, and the tumah comes from the outside. So the Gemara Nida on Daf Zayinam and Beis establishes that on a Daraisa level, a kli is not metame, is not mekabel tumah mimashkim tumeim. Why? Because mashkim tumeim is a rishon l'tumah, and a kli is not mekabel tumah from a rishon, but only from an ava tumah. And this is all reflected in the sugya of Chanina, Chanina's Gan Kohanim at the beginning of Pesachim. The Rabbanim made a gzera, however, that this kli should be mekabel tumah from mashkin, because if there was a case of mashkin of zav, where the rok or the meirag liam of mashkin of zav is an ava tumah, it would be metame kelim midoraisa. However, even though the Rabbanon instituted this gzera of tumah on this kli, on this dli, if there were mashkin that were metamiyat on the outside, but nevertheless they made a chiluk, they made a distinction to make sure that everybody knew, and it was public, it was obvious and recognizable that we're talking about a tumah derabanan but not a tumah deraisa. Therefore they made the established gzera in a very limited way, and they said that if it was nitma from the outside, then it's tameh only on the outside but not inside. And that's the Mishnah in Masechta Kelim that says kli shenitma me'achorav b'mashkin, achorav tameh, but tocho is tahar. And again, all this was made as a deliberate limitation in the gzera of tumah here, in order that it should be a heker, it should be absolutely clear that this tumah is only derabanan, because otherwise they might come to burn truma and kodshim, which we don't do in a case of tumah derabanan. So what we're saying now is that if the mashkim have contact with the outside of the kli, then lo nitma tocho shel kli, the inside of the kli does not become tame. And if we apply this rule to the case of the bucket of mechatos that fell into the mikvah, then the Gemara says, "Demidina sagilehu bekolduhu," or bekolshu, or sagile bekolshu, the different girsos here. In other words, meikra din, all you'd have to do is be matpil the kli in such a way that a very limited amount of water would come on the svasa kli, and that would be a tvila shlema. And the reason for that is because this kli was not tome bitocho. The Rabbanan only made the gzera on gabo, on milagav, which means on the outside. Rabbanu de gozabahu, they require tvila even for that which is inside. And therefore, they passel the mechatos inside because they were choshesh dilma chayas alayu. In this case of mechatos, perhaps he would be very careful and, shall I say, very inhibited in order to avoid any kind of psul of mechatos. And therefore, they made this harchaka and they said that if he's worried about the fact that no mayim will enter in to the main mikvah, then he'll be super duper careful and avoid being machnas the main mikvah into the kli. Now, what we do require mirabbanan is to inject, so to speak, the main mikvah into the kli. And in this case, he's not going to do so. V'lo matbilei, he won't even be matbil the svas hakli, which was what we require. And then there's no tvila. The tvila here is a tvila on svas hakli. So because of this chashash, Rabbanu made a gzera that the tvila will not be meaningful, will not be effective until he's mevatel mechatos berov mei mikvah. However, once there's rov, came into Ika Ribuya, in other words, there's a rov mei mikvah inside the kli, therefore lo tzarech, they didn't require, the chacham didn't require to apply the principle of roim, ki ilu heim yayin adam, to suspend the application of bitul, but rather they left it with the din of bitul berov, because the entire requirement of tefillah in this case, of a dli shetochotar, the Gabo Tomei, is only a Chumad Rabbanon. And therefore, it was sufficient in a case of a mixture to apply the principle of Bitul Barov. But this is the exception to the rule. Otherwise, the general rule would have been, on a Darais level, we'd have to apply the principle of Roim, and that's something that is correct even both according to the Mishnah and the Brais, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what we said before about the mechata shebo means that the toch, the inside of the kli, does not contract tumah as a result of the mechatos that's inside the kli, because we're talking about a case where adayin lo niskachu amayim be efer paraduma. So we're talking about an earlier stage before they did what's called Kiddush HaMayim by adding into the Mayim the Efer Paraduma. They didn't make that concoction yet, so it's not Metamin. Nevertheless, they were Choshesh, or the person is Choshesh about this Mayim, that it shouldn't become Posel. And since he's Choshesh that he might not find other Mayim Chayim, that's this week's parish that we'll read in Mirtz Shem in 2 days, for the purpose of Mechatos, that's why he's chayas alayhu, and we're afraid that he's not going to do that he's not going to do the proper tefillah. So we're going to require tefillah derabbanan, because under the Raisa level there is no requirement of tefillah. But within the context of this gzera derabbanan, we don't require that roim, that we apply the principle of roim as if to say it was mayim, it was yayin adon. But rather we're going to fall back on Rov and rely on Bitul Barov. Now, in the case of Tvil over here, when the Gemara says, Sagi Lahu Bekol Dahu, What it means is that the mayim surround, that in a normal case, a classical case of tefillah, not in this case, the mayim have to surround the guf hakli. But here, the water doesn't have to surround the guf hakli. Apparently, when the rabbanu would go zituma on the gav of the kli, even though again we're talking about a case of other tumas, which not the case of a tumas zav. So the mashkim have the status of a rishon tumah, cannot be mitami the kli. When the rabbanu instituted this tumah, they didn't establish that the tumah is shall we say penetrates into the gufa shel kli, but only on the face, the outside of the kli, and therefore when he puts it into the mikveh, he doesn't have to have what we call hekef hamayim, that the mayim will absolutely surround and envelop the gufa shel kli, but rather all he needs is that the water hits the pnei kli, and once bo ha pnei kli b'mayim, then it's tar. The Gemara now sets up three different klolim as far as bittul is concerned. Amar Rava, there are three cases of bittul and three principles that the Rabbanan established as far as bittul. Sometimes in certain cases, Amru Rabbanan Bitaima will check the tam and see if there's a mixture of tam, and if the tam is murgash, if it's not this bittul, then the Amur Rabbanan, sometimes the Rabbanan will say that the Isur is Batu Baruba, and all you need is Rav Heter. And then in the third category, Yesh, there's the Amur Rabbanan Bechazusa, that sometimes Bittul depends upon the change of the color. So now the Gemara explains these three klolot. If there's a Tarovus of Min B'Sheino Mino, which means there are two different tastes, and you can certainly check which taste, as a result of this tarovas, is the primary taste, b'taima, then we're going to check the tam. So for example, if you have a mixture of truma and chulin, where the truma has one tam and the chulin has another, is then, let the kohen drink this mixture, and he'll tell you whether there's argosha, whether he could feel the tam of the truma, because the tam of the truma is different than that of the chulin. And if he determines that there's no tam of truma, then even a zar is allowed to drink this mixture. Or, for example, let's say you have a mixture of isa v'heter of two different tam, min b'sheino mino, like basar and cholav, or isa and heter, they got mixed up in a pot. So we can give that, we can't give it to a kohen to test in this case, but we can give it to a goy, a kfela, he'll test this taroves, he'll taste it and determine whether there is the tama isur, or there's no tama isur. Maybe he'll tell you that the tam is pogu, and based on his testimony, it's mutter. Now again, on a drabana level, we're not going to do this, we're going to say that instead of bdika, to check out if there's tam or not, everything depends upon bittul b'shishim, or in the case of Truma Bittul B'Meah, and so forth and so on. That's the way the Rabbanan have it. But Mikra Adin, we apply the principle of Bittul Atam, and we could ask the Kfela, this guy, to tell us what the taste is. And that's fine. So for example, we had back on Daf Ayin Ches, if you remember, a mixture of wheat flour together with rice flour, and the question was whether if it was baked together in a tarovas, whether it's matzah or not matzah, whether you could fill the mitzvah of matzah. So on a deraisa level, we could apply the principle of tam ki ikar, and if the tam here is the tam of the lechem, not of the orez, then it's matzah. And in such a case, you can actually taste it. A Jew can taste it, any Jew. So those are the outlines of this first klal, which is called min b'sheino mino b'tama. And then we get to the second klal, which is min b'mino, and there it says beruba. So these are cases where there's no way you can discern the taste of one of the two in the mixture. They're all shava b'shava. And then the mir is batul b'ro. Now this din doesn't seem to jive or reflect, shall we say, the shita, the Tana, in our Mishnah, in the case of Tarovas Dam B'Dam, where the Mishnah establishes that we see the Dam as if it was Mayim, in order to be Meshayer, whether or not there's a Mara Dam or not. But we don't apply the principle that dam is batel berov. Both Rashi and Tosfos make that indication, but one of the Achron of the Ponim Eiros says that it is possible to suggest that Rava here, when he formulates this principle, be moda, that with regard to things that depend upon Mara, then min bimino is not batel berov, as long as it's a Mara. And that could fit in with Rava, and the Mishnah could fit in with Rava, in the case of Dvar Matluyim bimara. So for example, when we talk about dam, we want to know if it has a mara dam. And if there's a mixture of dam bidam, we have to say roim es adam kiilu mayim, and then we can mishar if there's a mara dam or not, and therefore there's no din of bittul. And all that is because it's totally bimara. But that's the exception to the rule rather than the rule itself. And that leads us directly into the third klal of Rav, and that's Hecha de'ika chazusa. If there's a certain chashivus to the Mara, we're no longer dealing with an issue about achila, we're dealing with an issue about the very essence of the thing. For example, a mikveh, you want to know whether it, you know, whether it has the status of a mikveh or not. We're not eating the mikveh, we're not drinking the mikveh. So then we talk about bittul b'mara. And we want to know whether the amount of negative substance that got mixed up with the positive substance in this taroves is going to be bottle. Is the mara? If the mara is going to be bottle, then that's what it is, and there's no longer a mikvah because we're gonna check out and see what's the status with the mara. Now let's go back for a moment to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was the one who said that Isurim Mevatlim Zed Zeh. That was back on Daf Ayin Ches Amid Aleph. The Gemara here on Ayin Tes Amid Aleph is going to establish that Reish Lakish is embroiled in a major controversy, and not everyone accepted the principle of Reish Lakish that Isurim Mevatlim Zed Zeh. And again, we'll review Reish Lakish in just a minute. In fact, Rabbi Lazar is the one who disagrees with Reish Lakish, and the Gemara proves this. The Omer of Lazar, Kishem She'ein Mitzvos Mevatlin Zuitzu, Kach Ein Isur Mevatlin Zuitzu. So if you have a mixture of two things that are designated for a mitzvah, then there's no bittul of one or the other. And even if one has the rov, and even if you're talking about two different mitzvahs, there's no bittul at all. And the reason for this, says the Rashbam in Psachim, and we're going to see this in the case of Matzah, Morah, and Pesach in a mixture, is that since they're Shavim, because they both have an element of Kiyum mitzvah, one is this mitzvah, one is the other, therefore there's no bittul. Bittul requires two things that are, so to speak, at loggerheads. They're fighting, you know, psul versus kosher, psul versus kosher, or isa versus heter. But here it's all mitzvadik. And therefore there's no bittul, and that's against Reish Lakish. Why? Because Rabbi Lazar goes a step further. And he explicates that not only is a mitzvah not mevatel a mitzvah, but also kach ein isur mevatlim zuetzu. So if you have two dvar masurim v'achila, then there's no bittul between the two. And that applies even if one of them has a rov, and even if one of them has Iser X and the other has Iser Y, two different Isurim. So for example, let's say you have a mixture of Pigul and Nosar, you would think there's a certain tension between these two in that mixture, and one of them has to win out over the other. And maybe the best way of doing it is determining where the rov is. So in this case, you have Pigul and Nosar Shebolam Zebazeh. They were mixed together in a pot, in a bowl, in a cup, and then v'ochlan, and he ate them. Now the question is he chayv malchus? If we go with Reish Lakish says there's no malchus here because isur mevatlim zed zeh, and we don't know which of these two isurim is mevatel the other one. And therefore, we have a situation called hasra'as safek. We can't give malchus unless we know exactly which of the Surim he violated, And according to Rabbi Elazar, is any sur mevatlim zutzu, so basically he violated both nosar and pigel. So if he had a hasra for one of the two, then mimonef shalach is going to be chayev malchus, and that's called hasras vadai because of the principle of any sur mevatlim zutzu. Mashenkin kodesh reish lakish, where we have a principle of isur mevatlim zutzu, we always by definition end up with a suffix because we don't know which is mevatel which. And interesting is that the Rambam in Psuya Mukdoshim, in a mixture of Pigol, Noser, and Tomei, formulates the rule that if Bolam Zeba Zev Yochlan Chayev, and he's Chayev even though one min is Rov, there's no Bittul. And it's interesting that the Rambam is codifying the Halacha like Rabbi Lozer against Reish Lakish. Any sur mevatlin zezeh, and the Kesef Mishnah explains that the reason why the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Lozar is basically because in the Gemara above on Daf Ayin Ches, Rava asked kashas on Reish Lakish, and even though the Gemara offered answers, those answers were given b'dochak just to protect the interest and the position of Reish Lakish. But really the balance of the halacha, the weight of the halacha is with Rabbi Lazar, and we're going to apply the principle of Eini Isurim Mevatlim Zu et Zu. And that's a great chumra in the case of two Isurim that got mixed up, because he's going to be Chayv Malkus, because Mimonashachi violated one Isur, we don't know which one would be Mevatel, which one, but there is no Bittel. And the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Lazar. Yushalmi, on the other hand, expresses this view of Rabbi Lozer in the name attributed to Rabbi Yochanan. And we have a rule in Yushalmi that halachic Rabbi Yochanan. So that's another reason why perhaps the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Lozer. Ein isur mevatlim zu azu. The Gemara says, man shamet le diomer ein mitzvah mevatla zu azu, meaning this amora Rabbi Lozer, on whose shoulders was he standing when he said that there's no bittul? Because if you take a look at the language of Rabbi Lozer, what happens is there was a well-known principle before Rabbi Lozer, apparently, that ein mitzvah mevat lezu azu. Rabbi Lozer built on that, and he said, kishem, I'm going to derive a conclusion that just like we have a rule of ein mitzvah mevat lezu azu, so too ein isur mevat lezu azu. But where was and who actually formulated the original principle of Ein Mitzvah Mevat Lezu Etzu? And the Gemara answers, this is Hillel. Why? Because the Sanyu Eva Braisa, Omer Lov Al Hillel Zokein, that when he ate the Pesach Matzu Mora at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Hayukorchon Bevas Achas, he would eat them all simultaneously, V'Ochlon. And that's how he interpreted the Pasuk with regard to Korban Pesach. Shenemar, it says in Parshas Balos Chal Matzah Sumerorim Yochluhu, and it's mashma that he eats them all three together. We're not going to say that the tam of one of them is mevatel the tam of the other. Most likely that the tam of Mora would be mevatel the tam of Matzah, and that's because we have a principle of Ein Mitzvah Mevatel Zu Azu, which Rabbi Lozer, standing on the shoulders of Hillel, is going to extend to apply to Isurim, the Ein Isurim Mevatel Zu Azu. Now, I mentioned to you before that this Braisa of Hillel is talking of his mancha Beis HaMikdash Kayam. Because at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Mora is Doraisa, and for sure Matzah and Pesach is Doraisa. They're all three Doraisas, and therefore we apply the principle of Ein Mevatlin Zu Etzu. But if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban Pesach, then you're left with the Chiyuv of Matzah and the Chiyuv of Mora. There's a fundamental difference between the two. Whereas the Chiyuv of Matzah is Doraisa, because it says, Ba'erev Tochlu Matzahs, and the Chiyuv Doraisa of Matzah is not contingent upon the Beis HaMikdash and upon the Korban Pesach, but Mora is only a Chiyuv Drabbanan. The Torah never obligates one to eat Mora except Al Matzah Rom Yachluhu, referring to the Korban Pesach. So therefore the Gemara says at the end of Psochim that if there's no Beis HaMikdash Kayam, then we don't mix together the matzah with the mora. Again, we might do that afterwards, Zecher, Le Mikdash Kehillah, but the original matzah has to be eaten separate from the mora, because when it comes to Mora Derabona Bisman Hazeh, it has the status of a Dvar Rishus vis-a-vis a Doraisa, and it would be Mevatel the Tam Matzah, because Matzah is a Chiv Doraisa. In Psochim, the Gemara records a Machlokes here between Hillel and the Chachamim. Hillel was the one who said that during the Beis HaMikdash time they would be Korech, Matzah, Umara, they put them all together in a sandwich, they ate them also simultaneously. But the Chachamim disagreed, and their drasha of this pasuk of Al Matzah Umarim Yochlu was that he's allowed to eat the each one of them separately, independently, the Matzah independently, and the Umara, Zebifnei Atzma, Zebifnei Atzma, not like Hillel. And the reason why the Chacham reject Hillel, the Gemara says, because they hold mitzvahs mevatla zu is zu. So what we see here now is just an incomplete perspective on this sugi, because we get the impression that Hillel was, you know, it's a dumber portion, that we should translate al matzah merom yachlu, eating them all three simultaneously. And the Tam of the Mora is not Mevatel the Tam of Matzah, because Ein Mevatlin, Ein Mitzvahs Mevatel Zu is Zu, and in fact that's only the sheet of Hillel, but not the sheet of the Chacham. We have a minig of a Zecher LeHillel, because since Hillel understood that this is the nature of the Mitzvah, where the Beis HaMikdash stands on a Deraisa level, we want to somehow duplicate, or shall we say, replicate that mitzvah d'oraisa of Al Matzah Smorim Yochlu the way Hillel understood it. And now we're turning to Daf Ayin Tes Omid Beis. The Mishnah had established that if there was a tarovis of Dam Kodshim, that's Royal Limizbeach, with Dam Chulin, then Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is recorded as saying, Ein Hadam Mizbatel Klal. There's no bittul here, and therefore you can go ahead and you can be zorik the dam. Why? Because min bimino eino bata. The Gemara now is going to bring a brisa that further expands the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and there's going to be a little bit of a stira here. Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in a brisa, this is a Tosefta in Masechta Tyrus, charson, which is an earthenware kli that has, it's porous and it absorbs liquid especially, and they designated this as what we call today, pardon the expression, a padi, meaning it's osu l'meiraglayim. And in this case, who's using this cheres for meiraglayim? It's the zav or the zava. Now it broke, nishbar. Now meiraglayim has the status in the case of a zav or a zava of an av hatuma. And now this tumah of meiraglayim is absolutely absorbed in the kli itself. Now, of course, the kli is broken into small pieces and shards, but each one of those small broken pieces of cheres has a belia, has absorbed some measure of meiraglayim shel zav. And the Mishnah says that how do you get rid of these meiraglayim? Is rochtzo, you have to take this charson and you have to wash it, not once and twice, but thrice. Pam rishon v'sheni, it's still tome, you were not successfully able to remove the blia of meiraglayim, the tumah itself, and therefore pam shlishis, you need to do it a third time, and then only then is it tahor. Now, we want to point out that in Masechta Kelim, in the ninth perek, the Mishnah says that Shivrei Kli Cheres, if you have broken shards of earthenware, Shabolo Mashkin Tmeim, and they have it absorbed in them a Mashkin Tmeim, is then the law is that if these Mashkin come out, that's called Plita, to be Maflit, the Mashkin, then they are Metamim. Our Mishnah here that we're studying, I should say a Braisa, is addressing the case of Shivrei Kli Cheres, and it wants to tell you a big chiddush, that these shvarim themselves don't have tumah, but nevertheless, the mashka within them are metame, the nafkaminis, if it would be niflat, if we go out, it would have tumah. So it's not like a classical case of a kli which absorbs mayim tmeim and they were matvil it, and then when it comes out, the mayim that comes out after the plate are mayim tahorim, because they were nitaru b'ashaka in May mikvah. But here, these mashkim were not subject to any process of tara of purification, and therefore the kli cheres, whether it's full, whether it's intact, or it's broken into pieces, there's a blia here of mashkim tmeim. And the Bryce establishes, in order to get rid of that, to remove the mashkim tmeim that's balua and these broken pieces of cheres, what you're going to need is to wash it off three different times. So the purpose of these three hadachos of rinsings is to be motzi, mayim, bluim, this meira glim that's balua inside the cheres. The Rashmi Shantz, in his commentary in Kalim Perek Tes, has a different twist on this. His understanding is that the hadacha is for the purpose of the meira glim that's stuck on the dafnos hakli, and they are considered as if they're be'en, and then metame until he does hadacha the kli shalosh pa'amim. So as Rashi interprets that, we're talking about the mayim bluim, and that's the purpose of this rechitza. The Rashi on the other hand says the purpose of rechitza is to get the meira glim that are dvukim v'dafnos hakli, which are considered be'en, and therefore the metame up until the time that he does hadacha thrice. The Braisa continues and says, to clarify this din, that Pamedvam Amurim Shenosan Lesocho Mayim. How does he rinse three times around? He has to put water inside. So take, for example, you have the Charson, and it's got Meiraglaim absorbed in its walls, and you have to take the Charson and subject it to rechitza three times by putting mayim three times into the charson. And this, by the way, might be the source, or shall we say, an allusion to our minig in terms of kleis chuchis, that we for Pesach we want to use these glassware that we use all year round, so we put it in shriya in water, but that we have to do it three times over in order to get rid of the chametz, kaviyach. Anyway, getting back to Tumas Meira Glaim of Azav, Avalo Nosan L'tocho Mayim, what happens if he has urine of an Adam Tahar and he wants to use that to clean off, so to speak, the Meira Glaim of the Zav? So here the Raisa says, Afilu Asiri, even if he would pour 10 times the volume of Meira Glaim of Atar onto this very limited amount of Meira Glaim of Azav, that's Balua in the Shivei Kelim, is the Charson is still Tomei. Why? Because Min Bimino Eino Bata. So the Meira Glaim of the Tar is not Mavata, the Meira Glaim of the Zav, which is Balua into the Kli. That's the Shita of the Tanakama. However, Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov disagrees with Omer. He says, Shlishi, Afal Bishlo Nosan L'socho Mayim Tahar. When he puts the cheres three times, even if he did not rinse off this charson in Mayim, but rather in Meira Glaim of an Adam Tahar, nevertheless the charson is Tahar because Min Bimino is Batel. So the Gemara now analyzes this price and says, Man Shamet Le Diyom Min Bimino Lo Batel. Who would have been the author of the anonymous Reisha here that assumed that Min Bimito is not Batel, and therefore there's no possibility of cleansing the Charson of its Meira Glaim Shel Zav with Meira Glaim Vatar, is Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that Ain Dam Vatel Dam. Therefore the Tanakhama, this Braisa, who also reflects that view, that definition of min bimino eno batel, is Rabbi Yehuda. And it's Rabbi Yehuda who requires nesinas mayim sholosh pa'omim al meira glayim in order to get the meira glayim out of this charsa. And for a minu, and this poses a difficulty based on another brisa, Tosefta in Taras, that pishton shetov oso nida, if you had flax that was being weaved or woven, I guess you'd say, by a nida, and what she does is, while she's weaving, she takes the saliva from her mouth in order to soften up, or shall we say, make the pishton moist, and the roke of a nida is tamei. And the Brisa says that it all depends. Im kvar yovesh ha-pishton, if we waited a certain period of time, as long as it takes till the pishton becomes dry, is then mesito tar. Then if somebody moves this pishton that's being woven by the nida, then he's tar. Why? Because the roke is only metame when it's lach, when it's moist, when it's liquid. But if the pishton is still wet and it wasn't misyabish, then mesito tome. And why? Because mishu mashke pia, the mashke that came out of her mouth, which is the mashke of a nida, and that's metame. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says af, even after it dries, so the roke of the nida now dried up, nevertheless harotvo bamayim tome mishu mashke pia. So if he takes the rotvo, which is malach l'chaso, and he again moistens up these fibers of pishton, then chazar roke lios lach, we reverse the situation to what it was originally, where there was roke lach on this pishton, and therefore if somebody moves around the pishton, then he's tomei because of mashkepia. So it would seem now that Rabbi Yehuda set up formulated this rule as afilu tuv. He didn't qualify it. He doesn't make any distinction about how many times he was martiv the pishtar in mayim. In other words, even if he'd be martiv, he'd wet it many, many times, it still remains tomei. And that contradicts what we said about Rabbi Yehuda and the other brice that we had before about Meir Glayim of Azav, that are blue in Becharson, is Yotzim and Shalosh Pa'amim Sheyishtaf B'mayim, that if he rinses them off in water three times, then the Shivrei Charson are Tahorim, and we get rid of the Meir Glayim that's Bolua by this process. And if that be the case, then we have a stira between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda's statement here in the last Tosefta that we mentioned regarding the Nida Shetavsa, of Pishtan Shenida Tavsa, is Rabbi Yehuda says that Afilu Tuva, even if he's going to be martiv with a lot of water, it still remains Tomei. And that's against Rabbi Yehuda the Braisa, who says that all you have to do is wash it off three times. On Rav Papa, shiny roke, the courier. It has to do with the metabolism, the material properties of roke. Roke is different than other things. It doesn't leave the pishton, even with many rechitzos, because it's courier. And therefore, it's mechalchel, betoch ha-pishton. It gets absorbed into the pishton. And therefore, it's very strong, and it doesn't go out. But Meir Glayim, on the other hand, with three rechitzos, will be nifla. It'll go out of the charson. The Mishnah says this: Arev bedam psulim ishofech la'ama. And it's clear from the Mishnah that there's a machlokas here between the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer about a taroves of dam korban, of a korban kosher, with a dam of a carbon pustle, or dam tamtzis, which is not kosher lizrika, the last dam that comes out. The Tanakhama is of the opinion that the dam is pustle. We can't use it for zrika. Even if the dam kosher for zrika was rove, There's no hechsher for the dam. And Rabbi Eliezer is machshir. So the Gemara says, but Maiko Mifli, what are they arguing about? Omar Rav Zvid. This is the first opinion. Begozrim gzera b'miglish kamiflegi. The Chachamim hold the Tanakama that there is a gzera in the Migdosh, and even if as a result of this gzera there's going to be hefseid kodshim, but nevertheless, in order to avoid some sort of a toast in which we violate the din, we're going to have to institute this gzera. And that's what we have here to explain, according to Rav Zvid, the shita of the Chacham. However, even though Mar Savar Gozrin, the Tanakama holds that we will institute these gzeris in order to be marchik as ha'odim in avera, but nevertheless, the Hefseid Kodshim is a secondary element here. The primary element is to avoid these averos, and therefore the Gzera is going to prohibit Zrikas Adam al Mizbech in the case of a Tarovis of Dam Bidam, where even though there's no Bittel and the Dam still remains Koshel Zrika, however, we're going to institute this Gzera because tomorrow they're going to come to be machshir in the toes to be zorik dam on the mizbech, even if the dam of the korban, the dam hakosher, would be bota, and then it would be posel min haTorah. Mar Sover, on the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer holds lo gozrin. We're not going to create a gzera in the migdash where there's a chashash of possibly, as a result of the gzera, bringing hefseid kodshim. As a result of the gzera, there'll be hefseid kodshim. And therefore, in the case of Dam Shenis Arev B'Dam Psulin or Dam Tamtzis, as long as there's no Bittel and the Dam Kosher retains its identity as Kosher, we're allowed to be Zorikan on the Mizbeah. That's according to Rav Zvid. Rav Papa Amar, the Kuli Alma, both the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer agree that Gozrin, we're not worried, we're not concerned about Hefseid Kodshim, we have to institute these Gzeres, but Hocha, here in the case of Dam Shenis Arev B'Dam, let's call it Dam Tamtzis, the Machlokas is, are we dealing with a situation that's Matsui? One opinion is going to be, and that's going to be the opinion of the Tanakama, that Dam Tamtzis Matsui Lirbos Al Dam HaNofesh, that it's quite common that there'll be such a volume of Dam Tamtzis, it becomes the Rove, the Dam HaNefesh, which is Koshel Zrika, is the Miut, and therefore we have to institute a Gzera here because of a situation that's Motsui. Mar Savar, according to the Chacham Shchiach, it's quite common. We can anticipate in many scenarios that the Dam Tamtzis will be of greater volume than the Dam HaNefesh, in such a way that the Dam HaNefesh will be Botel. And we have to be Choshesh that if we're going to be Machshir the Dam in this Tarovis, then tomorrow there'll be Machshir the Dam even if the Dam is Botel Berov Dam Tamtzis. So the Rabbanan are going to institute this Gzera to Asa the Zrika this Dam even if the Dam HaNefesh is not Botel, because of a situation that might come up with the Dam HaNefesh is Botel, and that situation is Motsui, it's Shchiach. Mar Sov, Rabbi Eliezer holds Lo Shchiach. We don't have to worry about a scenario that's so rare that there'll be a Rov Dam Tamtzis to be Mevatel the Dam HaNefesh, and therefore there's no justification for this Gzera. So it comes out like this. According to Rav Papa, if there was a case of a tarovos of dam royal mizbeach with dam psulim, there's no machlokes in that situation, because even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that if it's shchiach that there'll be more dam psulim than the dam kosher, the dam karbon, then we're going to institute this gzera, we're going to passel even when there is no bittel. The only machlokes is going to be a case where the tarovus was with dam tamtzis. That's what comes out according to Rav Papa. And that's where Rabbi Eliezer does away with the gzera, because dam tamtzis as a rov is lo shchiach. So Gemara says the following: Bishleim Rav Papa. I can understand, according to Rav Papa, the language of the Mishnah. There's a strange element here in the language of the Mishnah, in the formulation of the Mishnah. Hainu diktoni, it says in the Mishnah a double language here, which seems to be superfluous. It says, Nisarev bedam hapsuim yishofech la'amo, and then it says, bedam tam tamtis yishofech la'amo. So both in the case of Dam Sulim and in the case of Dam Tams, it's the same identical din. The Tana should have combined them, integrated them together, and said that Nisarev Bidam Psulim O Bidam Tamsis Yishofek La'amah. But according to Rav Papa, we can begin to understand why the Mishnah used the double language. Because after all, Rabbi Eliezer is Moda in the case of the first din, that's Dam Psulim, because there it is shchiach that there may be a rov of dam psulim, and he only disagrees in the case of the second din, which is a taroves of dam tamtzis, where Rabbi Eliezer holds, since it's not matzui, therefore there was no gzera. So basically we have two different dinim here that the Mishnah emphasizes as far as why we're not going to allow the zrika. One din is mutually accepted and universally accepted by both Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer as well. And the second din, that's already the special chumrah of the Chachamim, based on the fact that they assume that even Dam Tamtzis is Shchiach. El Rav Zvid, according to Rav Zvid, there's a fundamental machlokas here about whether we have Xeris in the Migdash. And therefore this machlokas is going to apply, and the Shita of Rabbi Lezu says that Ein Gozim and Migdash will apply even in the case of Dam Karman, when there's a Tarovus of Dam Karman. And therefore we're left with the question, Larvinu Vilis Ninhu. The Mishnah should have integrated both Dinim and present them as one, without any doubling up, any superfluous language, because both the first din and the second din is a machlokas shi tanakam Rabbi Eliezer. Nothing changes between dam psulim and dam tamtzis kasha. And this leads us to the new Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Tesam and Beis. Again, the Mishnah is addressing the dinim of domim shenis arvu, dam tmimim, in this case the dam of a healthy specimen carbon got mixed up b'dam balei mumin, with a dam of a carbon that's become a balmum. And the Mishnah establishes yishofech la'amah, that even if the dam of the tmimim is rov, nevertheless we will not allow the zrika of this dam and this taroves onto the mizbeach, but rather yishofech la'amah, we've got to get rid of it. It's possible. Again, we mentioned in the past that the Amah is a certain ta'ala, as we say, which would pass over, or under, I should say, the Ritzvah Sazora, and it would take all the psulim out to the Nachal Kidron, and that was outside of Yerushalayim. Now, the Mishnah here should be compared to the Mishnah back on Ayin Ches that we just finished, the Machlokes Shin Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, in the case of Dam HaRoyel HaKrovo that got mixed up with Dam Tamtzis, whether the Dam is Koshel, is Riko or not. And Rav Papa had just explained that according to the Chachamim, we're going to suspend the Din of Rov, meaning even if the Rov is Dam Kosher, because the Gzeira or to a case where the Dam Tamtzis will be a rov. Rabbi Eliezer is not worried about Dam Tamtzis being a rov because it's lo shchiach. Here, in this mission that we're learning now, in case of Dam Tmimim, in a Tarovus with Dam of Bali Mumim, there's no machlokas, and even Rabbi Eliezer agrees, he's mode, that in this Tarovus we have to ask the Zrika, because the Dam of Bali Mumim is motzi, as Rashi says, it's shchiach, that it would be marbe onto dam hatmimim, and therefore we have to be worried about such a toast that might come about. Now the Mishnah adds another situation, which is the tarovus of dam tvimim and dam bali mumim, but not in the same kos, but rather kos bekosos. We have one kos, one klisharis that has in it dam of bali mumim. We have another one that has dam tvimim. So there's no tarovus of the two damim in one kos, but these kosos got mixed up. We don't know which was the kos that had the dam bali mumim. Is Rabbi Eliezer Omer im karev kos echad, if the Kohen, without asking, went ahead on his own initiative and he took one of these kosos without knowing, shall we say, whether that it was mixed up, that there was a tarovus, and he threw it onto the mizbeach, is then we apply the principle of tliya yikru kol kosos, all the remaining kosos are allowed to be poured on the mizbeach, and we don't have to worry about the dam bali mumin. And the reason for that is because we'd assume that the dam of the bali mumin was already nizrak in the first kos. V'chachom omrim afilu karvu kulam chutz me'echad mehem. If you went ahead and you were zorek onto mizbeach all the dam, leaving only one little kos, one small amount, nevertheless yishofech liyama. We're worried that the last kos is the one that has the dam bali mumin in it, and we're not going to apply the principle of tliya, even though a great volume of dam was already poured on the mizbeach. We're not going to assume that the dam of the bali mumin is located in that dam which you were zorek on the mizbeach. Now the Mishnah wants to address a case of a taroves of damim that have to be, shall we say, splattered onto the mizbeach on the top part above the chutah sekra, like for example chatas behema or ola sa'ov, with damim that have to be sprinkled on the lower half of the mizbeach below the damasik, which is the balance of all karbonos. And the Mishnah says hanitonim lemata, like for example in olas behema, Mishnah establishes damim hanitonim lemata. As we mentioned before, we'll talk about not a chatos behema, but an olas behema, an osham, or any of the other karbonos, and it's arvu, and they got mixed up in damim hanitonim lemala. As we mentioned before, chatas behema is one example. Rabbi Eliezer Omer yitain lemala. We lose nothing by doing an asina lemala and being machmir for a behemas chatas behema. And as far as an olas behema is concerned, then nothing catastrophic has taken place if we do an asina lamala michutas sikra. And then he writes, v'roe ani es hatachtonim milamala ki ilu hem mayim. I'll relate to the damim that belong on the lower side of the mizbeach, the lower end of the mizbeach, where the mitzvah is to do it lamata, and now we did a hazah lamala, as if they were mayim. He makes a tanai, and he says, look, if in this mixture the dam is a dam of chatas behema, then it goes lamal and everything is kedasu kedin. If, on the other hand, it was a, let's say, a chatas behema, an olas behema, or an asham, whatever it might be, then let this element of dam become mayim. He's not miskaven in this rika to be zorek the dam that belongs lamata lamala, and we see it as water. And in such a case, since he's lacking in kavana, there's no violation of any iser whatsoever. And then afterwards, he takes part of the dam that's left over, the balance of the dam, yachsav yitein lamata, and once again, he makes the same tnai. And he says the the dam of Olav, Oshem, etc., that goes Lamata, Kedasu, Kedin, everything's fine. And the dam of Chatas Behema, which really belongs Lamala, that should be like Mai. The Chachom Omer, they disagree. They're not going to accept this principle that he can make such a Tanai and make the dam into Mayim and sort of ignore or undermine the status of the dam as Hazrikas Kodshim on the Mizbeach, but rather Yishofech La'ama. The Chachom hold that we cannot apply this principle of Roeh Nesadama Tachton Kilu Mayim, and therefore since there's an Isur to change the Avodah Sadam, better that we don't do anything with this dam, don't put any of it, of this mixture Lamala, but rather Tishofech La'ama. The Mishnah now brings a different scenario in which the Chacham would agree that you could be machsha the dam b'di'evad. V'imlo nimlach, if the Kohen went ahead without asking the Chacham what to do, ketzad linog with his tarovis, v'nosan, and he put the dam lamala, then kosher, which means that even though there was a shini mokum here vis-a-vis the balance of the karbonos, by putting them lamala when they deserve, they should have been meant lamata, that doesn't passel the dam b'di'evad from Zrika. He can go ahead, for example, now and be chozer and whatever dam he has left to give it lamata because of the dam atachton, and everything is okay. And we'll call it, you know, for the chatos, the behemoth chatos, what's he doing now with his Zrika lamata? We'll call it Shiori Dam Achatos. Now, Shiori Dam Achatos usually would be poured onto the Yesod HaMizbeach, but in this case, where we're in a pinch here, then Lamata on the Kira Mizbeach, that's also a possibility for Shiori Hadam. This explanation of the Mishnah is the Shita Mekubetzes. Please note that the Rashash rejects this explanation, and he says, no, there cannot be any Nesinas Dam Lamata, because the Halach of Shirayim requires Yisod, and therefore he cannot do the Zrika on the Kira Mizbech below the Chut HaSikri. Needs to be Shofek L'Shiorim onto the Yisod, and nothing less will do. We turn now to Daf Pei Amin Aleph to continue in the Mishnah. The Mishnah now clarifies the din of a tarovis of different types of dam, for which there are different numbers of matonos that have to be given on the Mizbeach. And the Mishnah says, Domim hanitonim b'matono achas, shenis arvu benitonim b'matono achas. Let's say, for example, you had a mixture of dam bechor with dam meiser, or with another dam of bechor, and all of these require a single matana on one of the kronos of the mizbeach. Is then yinosnu b'matana achas. The sugya later on is going to clarify that's based on the principle called yesh bila. And we assume that there's a perfect mixture here, a blend of these two domin. And as a result of the bilah, the nivlulu heite biyachad, every drop that he puts on the mizbeach is really representative of both domin. And the same thing would apply if has, let's say, has a tarovus of kosos, he can take a little bit from each one of the kosos and do one matana. The Mishnah now gives another din. Matan arba, matan arba. Let's say, for example, you have the dam of an ola with got mixed up with dam of a shlomim. They all require four matonos. Yinosnu b'matan arba. Rashi explains that matan arba really means shtayim shein arba. And this is all a matan b'chut ha-sikra, because we're talking about a regular ola, not an ola sa'of, and shlomim. They all require lamata michuta sikra, and you could do what's called shteimat tonashen arba, which we discussed in the past, you know, two diagonal corners of the mizbeach, and let the dam go in all four directions. The Mishnah adds another din, and that is matan arba, like for example an ola, that got mixed up with matan achas, like a bechor. Here we have machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer over yinoslu b'matan arba. We fulfill the din of an ola that requires four matanos. And as far as the dam of bechor, which only requires one matana, then we're going to view the other three matanos as mayim. And there's no violation of Altosiv. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Omer. He says, Yinosu matona achas. You have to follow the din of a bechor, and you have to limit yourself to one matona. And as far as the ol is concerned, that's going to be kosher as well, because b'dieved, we pass like Beis Hillel, and one matona is enough. And that's the Mishnah back on Lamed Vav and Beis, kol anitonim al mizbech achitzot shenosu matona achas kiper. So why does Rabbi Yeshua want to avoid the matan arba? Because Rabbi Yeshua doesn't accept the position, the principle of roh misadam kilu humayim, and therefore there's a violation here of Bal Tosif by adding matonos that the Torah never required. The Mishnah now brings a dialogue between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua on this last machlokus, this last point. Amalo, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, according to your opinion, hare hu over al baltigra. We have an admixture here of ola, and the Torah requires matna arba. Now you're only doing a nesina b'matana achas, and that's a violation of baltigra. And l'shitoska, that you're not going to accept the principle of ro'enoso ki'ilu mayim, then to the same extent that by jacking up the number to four, you violated Bal Tosif vis-a-vis the Bechor, then by reducing the number to one, you violate Bal Tigra vis-a-vis the Dam Ola, which requires four, and you did only one. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua responds to Rabbi Eliezer's attack, and he says the following, and according to your shita, hare, when he, you're advocating that he do four matanos, as if it were an ola who over al baltosif vis-a-vis the dam of the bechor, he's violating baltosif. Amar Rabbi Elazar lo nemar baltosif el kishuli atzma. In other words, the iser of baltosif only applies when the dam is given as a matana bifnei atzma, one matana, and then he does extra matanos. But here, what he's going to do is he's got the entire mixture as one entity, and he does matan arba, because the dam that's in the matan arba that's mixed in is a dam that requires matan arba, and so far it's the dam ha'ola, is eino over, there's no violation of altosif. When you take the dam of one particular carbon, which is not mixed with the dam of other carbonos, then if you jack up the number of matonis, you violate Bal Tosif. But if you have an absolute mixture, a bila achas, of different carbonos, and one of which requires arba, then there's no Bal Tosif, because the fact that you need arba for that admixture of dam ola, that justifies the maton on four kronos hamizbeach, and that's not Bal Tosif. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, once you've come to that point, is lo never bal tigra el kshuli atzma. Meaning, if he's doing a matana achas because of the dam that requires only one matana, namely the bechor, which is mixed into the taruvus, there's no violation of the law of bal tigra. And Rabbi Yeshua continues to clarify his shita. V'od Omer Rabbi Yeshua, he says to Rabbi Eliezer, kshanasato, when you advocated doing a matan arba, and that would be done even on the dam that only requires one matana, avarta al bal tosif, that's a violation of al tosif. V'asisa masa biyodecha, you actively violated bal tosif with the three extra matanos of the dam of bechor. However, kishalona sata, if you did not take the dam that needs arba amos ella b'matona achas is avarta al baltigra v'lo asiso masa v'yodecho. Simply stated, Rabbi Yeshua is tiny to Rabbi Lezer, if you reduce the number and you want to claim that there's a baltigra, at least you have to admit that that's b'shevi alta, so there was no active violation of baltigra. What you did was, you did one matana, and it really and the halacha certainly beyond the shadow of a doubt requires that one matana. Now it's very interesting, because initially in the previous bava in the Mishnah, it was Rabbi Yeshua who said that there's no baltigra unless it's k'shuli atzmo, but not netarovis. So why does Rabbi Yeshua here at this point bring this tam, this other element here of eino osa maisa biyadayim, if there's no bal tugra at all, if it's in a tarovis? So he brings here the Tosas HaRosh, who says that Rabbi Yeshua is saying the following, that even if you would insist that there's bal tosa bal tigra in a tarovis, you'd have to admit that it's better, it's the lesser of evils. You do damage control if you violate without a maisa, as opposed to violating b'maisa. So really, Rabbi Yeshua is now attacking Rabbi Eliezer on his turf, so to speak, because it was Rabbi Eliezer who said to Rabbi Yeshua, what about the violation of Altigra? So that Rabbi Eliezer is really analyzing this sugya, this suffix, from the perspective of Baltosu Baltigra, and here Rabbi Yeshua says, if you have a choice between one of the two, better in this case to violate Baltigra b'shevi altas than to violate Baltosu v'du arba matonis b'kumvase. That's the end of the Mishnah here on the top of Daf Pei Amud Aleph. And tomorrow we'll start the sugya in the Gemara itself, Daf Pei Amud Aleph.